Welcome to episode number 6 of the Paid Traffic Show. We are glad that you're here. I am joined by my main man on my right, Mr. Mark Petrie. Mark, how's everything going in Southern California today, my friend?
Nice and dreary, Bill. Lots of rain lately.
Wow. Way to be excited about that. I bet it's better than the 32 degrees we just walked to lunch in, right, Sophia? All right, guys, so we got a lot of great stuff. This is episode number 6. We are 6 days away from Lab Live right here in Nashville, Tennessee, and we have a great show for you today. We're going to be going over Bing ads, alternatives to Google and Facebook ads. I know some of you are going to want to find out about that stuff. Mark's going to dive into long-tailed keywords, lead pages and phone wagon, Chicago party bus keywords. Mark, I hope you got some good stuff for my friends up in Chicago. Weddings, how to use Facebook targeting for weddings, and Mark, what do I do when I'm just starting out? Don't answer that yet. We'll be back on the flip side.
Steve from Tampa asks, why should I consider Bing ads over Google ads?
So I always recommend Bing ads for virtually every client I have. And the reason for that is Bing ads is always going to be a lot cheaper per click than Google ads. And what you pay per click really affects how much you pay per lead. And so who is Bing ads not for? Generally, if you're in a very small market or you only offer, let's say, one service, you generally don't want to use Bing ads just because you might only be able to spend a dollar or two a day. But for people in large markets like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, you should all be running Bing ads. And I would actually recommend, if you only have $1,000, $1,500 a month to spend on ad spend, you're going to be wanting to just be doing Bing ads because the cost per click is going to be a lot less. People do use Bing ads, even though that might sound surprising. So if you've got a limited budget and you're in a big city, Bing ads is the perfect thing to use.
So Mark, am I hearing you correctly? If I only have one vehicle and I have a sedan and I'm just doing airport transfers as an example, maybe some occasional nights on the town in the smaller to medium sized market, you don't think I should be investing that dollar or two a day, you know, in complement, you know, Google ads?
So if you're in a very small market with a very small budget, a few dollars a day, then yeah, Bing ads can work for you. It really just depends on how small the market is. I've seen markets where you can't even spend a dollar a day. They're so small. So just kind of depends on your location, but for those smaller budgets, Bing ads is a is a great opportunity.
Cool. So I guess if I'm in Nashville and I'm running party buses or limo buses, a traditional retail company, I just want to make sure we're clear for our audience. So if you were managing my account and I had $1,000 or $1,500 budget in a mid-tier market like this, you would not put any of those dollars to Bing ads, or would you put dollars to Google and Bing at the same time?
Great question. I would put as much as I could with Bing. So let's say we had $1,000 a month budget. I would spend as much as I could with Bing in a market like Nashville that might only be $200 a month. And then I would use that remaining $800 on Google.
So really what I'm hearing you say is you should really probably take advantage of the cost difference in Bing first, allocate your budget that you see that you can spend to Bing, then go into Google Ads with the remainder of the budget?
Yes.
Cool. Awesome. What do you got next for us there, little Timmy?
Robert from Toronto asks, are there any other paid options that work besides Facebook and Google?
So, Robert, I think that's a really great question. I think we all get bogged down with just running Google Ads and Facebook ads, and there are a lot of other opportunities that are out there. You can be doing paid traffic from Yelp as an example. Do not really recommend that because I'm not very trustworthy with Yelp. But if you're heavily leveraged into the wedding market, you've got the Knot that you can advertise with. You've got Wedding Wire that you can advertise with. And then here's the other thing as well, is you got to look at influencers, right? So there's a lot more paid traffic that's out there than just Google, Bing, and Facebook. No question. If I am in the wedding market, and I was when, even all the way through when I had Grand Ave, a lot of you think that Grand Avenue was just a $9 million motor coach and corporate company. We had six vintage vehicles that we were charging $500 to $750 an hour for that were going out for weddings, and we did over $1 million a year in wedding sales. And one of the things that we did is we leveraged influencers. So those big celebrity, you know, wedding planners that were doing Joe Don Rooney and Tiffany Fallon's wedding and Mike Fisher and Carrie Underwood's wedding and that type of stuff. And we struck a partnership with them just like people would today, you know, with one of the Kardashians as an example, to promote their product. So anywhere that you're spending money is going to be considered paid traffic. I look at partnering and doing strategic partnerships are just as important, specifically if those partners and those influencers are trustworthy, have a larger reach potentially on social media or through organic web traffic, and they get you earlier into the sales funnel. So you got to remember that in everything that we do in ground transportation, man, I wish it was different, but it's not. Every single thing that we do, we are the last component. 100% the last component in the decision-making process. It doesn't matter if it's weddings, if it's corporate travel. If a travel manager is booking, they're securing probably hotel first, then they're going to air, then they're going to ground trans. And if you look at a wedding planner, they get the ring. You know, Beyonce put a ring on it. You know, I guess really Jay-Z did. Beyonce's got a ring. Now she's looking for venue. She's looking for dresses. She's looking for all the stuff that's way more important to them. We are the afterthought. So find these avenues to get earlier in the sales cycle, and you will see benefits from that. And typically that traffic, you're going to pay on what's called a cost per mil, which is like 1,000 impressions. So if you, like, look, here's the deal. If you want to build your affiliate brand, LCT Magazine's website does like 66,000 page views a month. You know, I look at the page, the views that I was doing in the Ask Limo You show, but nobody asked me to sponsor it. We did over 30,000 a month in the page views. Find these sources tied to your niche, because there's a lot more out there than just Google, Facebook, and Bing.
Chris from Houston asks, can you explain what long-tailed keywords are and some good ones to use?
Yeah, so long-tail keywords are keywords that capitalize on long search phrases. So let me give you an example. A long search phrase, let's say someone's flying into New York City and driving to Connecticut. They might type in car service JFK to CT or car service JFK to Stanford or something like that. That would be a long search phrase, and you could use a long tail keyword to capture that very specific traffic. Now, what would that keyword look like? When you're designing your keywords, you have to think, what are the most crucial words in that search phrase that must be in there to show intent? And so for that, for instance, car service from JFK to CT, car service JFK CT, or car service JFK Stanford, those would all be great keywords, broad match modified keywords. So there would be four actual keywords in that phrase, car service, JFK, CT, or Stanford. Another example might be if you run party buses from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. So their search phrase might be, you know, or party bus from LA to Vegas. So then your keyword, if it was broad match modified, would look something like party bus LA Vegas. And you'd want to put a plus in front of each one of those words. And you could even do the search phrase party bus from LA to Vegas. I know that gets a lot of search volume. There's a lot of people looking for that. And that could be a phrase match keyword. Those are the keywords that have quotes around them. Thing about broad match keywords is, or I'm sorry, long tail keywords is they're very specific, and therefore, if you can create an ad group around it, you can put exactly what someone's searching for right in front of their face. So who are they going to click on? Are they going to click on the ad that says Party Bus Rentals, or are they going to click on the ad that says Party Bus Rentals from LA to Vegas? Okay, so your ad's going to get much higher click-through rate, and that higher click-through rate is going to give you a lower cost per click because the ad is more relevant to the user. Google likes that. And again, guys, if you're getting a lower cost per click, you're getting cost per lead. And so I love long tail keywords. I use them in all of my campaigns, and I recommend that you do as well.
So Mark, before we move on to the next, you know, component, one thing that I want you to share about long tailed keywords is, one, is it true that typically the conversion is a higher percentage and the cost is lower for long tailed keywords versus JFK car service versus JFK or car service from JFK to Connecticut?
So as far as the conversion, the click-through rate is typically higher if the ad matches the keyword. The conversion rate can be higher if your landing page reflects what they're searching for. That's typically when I see higher conversion rates, is when, you know, you have your landing page on point and it reflects what that user is searching for. So if that's one of your main things, doing party buses from LA to Vegas, you might want to create a page just for that. So to answer your question, in the Google ad campaign itself, having a keyword that closely matches an ad, that's going to give you a higher click-through rate. And then having a landing page that reflects that search as well and is specific to that search is going to give you a higher conversion rate. So yes, very close to what you just said.
Amen, brother. And don't be scared of the small volume of traffic. You don't need to just be going after keywords that have 4,000 to 10,000 searches a month. If you can find a really good keyword that has 150, 200 searches a month and it's in a long tail, test it and try it, because that click-through rate's going to be very, very similar. Tim, what do you got for us next, buddy?
Harold from Vancouver is asking, why do you recommend lead pages and phone wagon so much?
Harold, do I really recommend lead pages and phone wagon that much? Well, I guess number one for lead pages, Harold, and you know, I've been promoting lead pages shit, I guess, since we started Limo University, probably 3.5, 4 years. One, because it doesn't require a developer. Two, it comes with over 250 templates, so it's fast and easy for you to be able to create sales pages. As Mark was just talking about, you know, making that customized sales page for that long-tailed keyword is critical. So that way your keywords are on it, the content's relevant, right? Well, who has time to spend 2 hours building out a lead page? Look, Mark uses Unbounce, we use lead pages. There's a couple of platforms that are out there. I believe for you guys, lead pages is the fastest to create pages, the easiest. And if you're in one of our programs at Limo University, we actually make them for you and we can deliver them to you inside of your lead pages account. And Tim, actually the gentleman behind the screen, is going to post a link in here to where you can click on this and learn everything you need to know about lead pages. Secondly, Harold, is phone wagon. I used to use a different platform called CallRail. You know, kind of Mark and I, when we started getting to know each other, he was using PhoneWagon. And the reason that I've been promoting PhoneWagon via CallRail, they both do very similar things. But PhoneWagon is 25% less. And Tim is going to put in a link as well in the comments here. And if you click on that link specifically, you're going to get a pretty sweet discount from PhoneWagon. So CallRail starts at $100 a month. PhoneWagon starts at $25 a month. And I think PhoneWagon and lead pages are the two best investments you can make into your marketing, specifically if you're doing paid ad traffic, because PhoneWagon is going to allow you to track your phone calls and see what type of return on investment you're getting. That's number one. So you have a new number for each campaign set that you're setting up. Number two is you're going to be able to listen to yourself. Kind of a daunting task if you're the only one that answers your phone, or your CSRs, or Limo Live 24, Limo Command, or whoever that is, and see how good of a job they're doing selling your services. Because if you're paying Mark to do your Google ads, or us, you know, to do Facebook ads, or whatever you're doing for it, if the phone isn't converting and your sales pages aren't converting, then you're wasting your ad spend. So that's why I love those two platforms, and I would not deploy a campaign without it. I could sit here and run through about 40 or 50 different testimonials of people that are using both lead pages and also PhoneWagon, and there's just no way that we would deploy a campaign without it. What say you there, Marcus?
Yeah, no, I started using the call tracking about 6 months ago when I realized Google's wasn't very good, and I should have been using it all along. It's been a complete game changer. PhoneWagon's great. Yeah, I know the CEO. He's a great guy, adding a ton of different features on it. Yeah, sign up for PhoneWagon, guys. It's affordable, and you really need to be tracking the number of calls and, more importantly, the number of converted calls that you're getting from your paid advertising campaigns.
Hey, Mark, you need to pay that utility bill out there. I know they're expensive in Los Angeles, but yeah, you know, you don't want those lights going off in the middle of a television show. And by the way, over right next to your right ear, how old is that thermostat? That thing looks like it's from the Brady Bunch. Is that literally like 50 years old?
Yeah, this is an old building I'm in, actually. I don't even think. Yeah, so.
Awesome. All right, Tim, what do you got for us next now that we've given Mark a little bit of shit today?
All right, Kevin from Chicago. He says, I own a party bus company in Chicago. What keywords should I be using?
So, really, the low-hanging fruit, a great keyword is just party bus. That's actually that keyword for my clients that do party bus rentals. It's the keyword party bus. Makes up, I would say, probably 80% of their traffic, just that one keyword. Now, if you want to go after some longer tail keywords, which might be a little bit cheaper per click, some common searches I see are people looking for birthday party bus, kids party bus. Also, you want to use the party bus keyword. You can do party bus rentals as well. And combine party bus with, if you've got local suburbs around you, like in Chicago, I believe there's like Naperville, you know, the suburbs in Chicago, there's lots of smaller cities around there. Use party bus in combination with each of those smaller areas and make them their own ad groups. So meaning party bus Naperville is going to be its own ad group. And the ad for that's going to say, you know, something like Naperville party bus rentals. Because while it gets nowhere near the amount of traffic that someone looking for Chicago party bus gets, typically you're going to pay less per click because there's less people bidding on those smaller cities. Everyone's bidding on Chicago, right? That's going to drive the cost per click up. And so that's a great strategy, finding those keywords that other people aren't using. So again, yeah, birthday party bus, you could do wedding party bus, kids party bus, and then the smaller towns around your area, combining party bus with those city names is going to get you a lower cost per click most of the time. So that's what I would recommend.
Oak Brook, Libertyville, Mundelein, Wrigleyville, all those different types of cities. But something else that I think is really important when you own a party bus and you're running party buses, remember, there's a whole nother subset of customers out there that views that as a limo bus. They don't think of it as a party bus, and they're not just using it to go party down in Wrigleyville, right? But you still want to sell them your party bus as a limo bus for their corporate event or for their anniversary with their wedding parties from 10 years ago that are coming into town to celebrate with them or for a family outing or whatever that is. So don't just singular hone yourself into those party bus keywords. Make sure you're expanding into other verticals based on what they, meaning they, your prospects are searching for, not what you think is right based on what you call your individual vehicle.
Yeah.
Great, what's up next, Timmy?
Lloyd from the UK asks, what are some of the best ways to target brides with Facebook ads?
So I love this, and I love targeting brides with Facebook ads, primarily because the very first thing that bride is going to do when she gets married is what? What do you think that bride's going to do the first thing, Mark? Outside of call her BFF and call her mother and tell her that they're engaged.
Booked a transportation company?
Hell no, that's last. I mean, come on, you pay attention to what the hell I'm talking about here?
Yeah, where are you going with this?
The first thing she's going to do, she's going to call her BFF. She's probably going to Instagram her or something. Then she's going to call her mother, right? Then she's going to go and update her status in her Facebook page to engaged. And you can actually trigger Facebook ads based on specific amounts of time after they've been engaged. So if you look at You know, information that you can get from the knot, as an example. The average couple today is engaged for between 13 to 14 months. That's on average nationwide. So you can start deploying Facebook ads when somebody immediately updates their status, which I wouldn't do because we're the last decision, right? So why would I want to waste targeting to somebody? They're not in that sweet spot of buying until that last 30 to 60 days before their wedding. So that means I don't want to waste any ad dollars targeting them till about month number 9. Or I may spend a small dollar amount in month number 1 through month number 9 just from a branding perspective and for that small percentage of people that are going to elope to Vegas or whatever, you know, get married in the next 3 months, 6 months. But since the sales process, which is how long they're engaged, that's the number one thing that I'm going to target, and I'm going to slowly ramp my budget up. I might only spend a dollar a day from month 1 to month number 5. But as I get into month number 6 and 7 and 8, I might ramp that up to $5 a day. And then when I get into month 8, 9, 10, and 11, I might ramp that up to $10 or $20 a day per ad. That's the number one place. Sure, all the other stuff, you know, somebody's, you know, female, the age demographics, you know, household income, a lot of different stuff you can utilize. But updating their status to engage is the number one trigger that I like to use when targeting weddings.
Will from Pittsburgh wants to know, how long should I retarget on Google and Facebook?
So that's a great question. I think it really depends on the type of service you're offering. And I don't even know if retargeting lends itself to certain types of like airport car services, things like that. You might want to only retarget them for a few days if you offer that sort of service, because typically someone's booking booking their reservation and picking a company quickly. Now, on something like a party bus or limousine service, you can retargeting a little bit longer, because typically someone like that, when you're renting, let's say, a party bus, many times it's not just one person renting the bus, right? They're talking to, you know, their friends or their family, everyone coming in. So it takes a little time to make the decision on who the vendor they want to use. So in that instance, I would recommend retargeting them for potentially a few weeks. And so, yeah, that's generally my strategy. So for airport stuff, I usually don't even set up targeting. But for my limo/party bus clients, I think it's a great way to stay top in mind.
So I've got a little bit different perspective on that. I believe that you should never deploy an ad without retargeting. And I believe that the length that you're going to retarget should directly tie to the sales cycle of those individual buyers. So as an example, if you are targeting destination management coordinators that are managing large groups, we all know that that sales cycle is probably going to be a little bit more elongated, and we need some branding inside of it. So if they watch ad, if they click on Google ad number 1 or Facebook ad number 1, and I know that, and I'm tracking in my CRM using Pipedrive, Salesforce, HubSpot, whatever that is, and I know that my average sales cycle is 45 days, then I'm going to be retargeting with multiple ads for 45 days. So at the end of the day, track your sales cycle for each one of your clients and set up your retargeting to kind of run the duration. That's what I'm talking about. Like even in the wedding example I used previously, I might spend a dollar a day for the first 6 months and then just slightly ramp it up, you know, going through that elongated sales cycle that the knot tells us can be between 13 to 14 months. All good stuff. What's up next, Timmy? Are we out of time? Is that it?
Almost. We got one more.
We got one more?
Calvin from Tampa says, I just started my business a few months ago and I want to launch Google ads to attract corporate clients, but where do I start?
Ooh, that's a good one, Mark. That's all you, buddy.
Okay. So generally speaking, when you're just targeting corporate clients, you really want to just focus on airport type business. And so the keywords you want to use for something like that is you want to use your airport name plus limo, or your airport name plus car service, or even your airport code. I've found a lot of people search airport codes. And so that's generally what I go for, because I've just found that not many people are searching for corporate car service. And so it just doesn't get hardly any volume. So you really have to, with Google Ads, you're targeting people by the keyword. You can't target like, for instance, wedding planners or something on Google Ads. That's only on Facebook. So what you have to, the only way you can target is by the things they are searching for on Google, which generally for corporate clients, what are they doing? They're doing a lot of travel, you know, so they're, you know, flying into an airport and they need transportation. So that's where I would start with keywords like car service plus the airport name, car service plus the airport code, town car service, you know, plus the airport name, airport code, or even a, you know, limo service plus the airport name, airport code.
If Calvin's just starting in Tampa, which is a second tier market, and he's only got $300 a month or $300 to $500 a month to spend on Google Ads, how many ads should he be trying to run, and how many keywords should he have inside of each one of those ads? If he's never done an ad campaign and he can't afford you or somebody else to do this, what's the very basic? Where does he really start at a granular level?
You could start off with four ad groups. One ad group would be car service, airport name. The next would be car service, airport code. But obviously the name of the airport, the airport code. And then the next one, actually three. The next one could be just limo. Or no, there would be four. Limo plus the airport name. And then the fourth ad group would be limo plus the airport code. And you could literally just run four keywords. Each ad group would have one keyword in it. Okay, it would be a broad match modified keyword. And the ad would match the keyword. So four ad groups, you know, car service plus airport name, car service plus airport code, and the same thing for limo service. And you might even want to, you know, try it. If you're only spending that much, you might be able to get a little bit of traction with Bing Ads. And so you might be able to spend $100 a month on Bing Ads, but it's going to be just so much cheaper than Google Ads. And so that's really all you need. You don't need a ton of keywords. A lot of people overcomplicate it, but you do want, I like to use only a few keywords per ad group. So just remember this, your keywords and your ads need to closely match. That's what ad groups are for.
That's awesome stuff. To wrap up today's show, I want to go back to a question that Marlon Watley asked. So based on what you just said, Bill, about targeting brides on Facebook, should you target newly engaged during the engagement season, knowing that they might not get married for another year? Marlon from New York. Marlon, yeah, I mean, if it's me, because I would probably have enough budget, I would. But it would be a very small amount. So I'd be running a video and I'd be targeting video views really to just get that branding in front of them. And I would probably be spending $1 a day. That's like $30 a month of my ad budget because I'm so early into the buying cycle, right? So that way they're seeing my ad, I'm making an impression on them, I'm not spending much money, but I'm also not directly selling them at that point either. And I would probably run a series of 3 to 4 different ads. It doesn't mean, holy shit, Bill's saying I got to create 4 video ads. You know, you can use some images of your vehicles at weddings and talk about your processes and that type of stuff and then turn them into a slideshow inside of Facebook. It all depends on your budget and the assets you have. But I would start at $1 a month for probably the first 5 to 6 months, and then I would slowly incrementally ramp up to $3 a day. I said $1 a month, $1 a day, then go to $3 a day, $5 a day, $10 a day, $20 a day as we get deeper into that sales cycle. So those are things that I believe are really critically important that most people, and Mark probably sees this as well, they don't know the sales cycle. So I think that's really great stuff, Marlon. Mark, I appreciate you for joining in the show today. As always, this was episode number 6, is in the books. Really excited for next week, everybody. If you're not going to make it right here to Nashville, right over my left shoulder, Bridgestone Arena, for Lab Live 2019, Mark and I will be broadcasting live at 1 o'clock Central Time from the stage at Lab Live during our lunch break. So I'm really excited to hear some of the questions that we'll get from the attendees. If you are coming to Lab Live, when you check in on Monday, make sure you see Mark, because Mark is going to be here Monday and Tuesday and our VIP day on Wednesday, and he's going to be doing individual Google ad audits for you. But you got to sign up for that audit at the time of registration. Mark, I look forward to seeing you at the VIP party at 6 o'clock on Sunday night at John Rich's Redneck Riviera. For all of you guys that aren't going to be here, we'll see you next week on Tuesday. If you're coming to Lab Live, I'll see you Sunday night at the party. Thanks for joining us, everybody.